two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we're going to explore the differences between a financial advisor and a CPA. That's a certified public accountant. Joining me today is Amanda Barrett Bruff. She is a CPA at Squire. And welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thank you.
Now, as a certified public accountant, Amanda, let's just start with you and kind of your duties. Why would I come to a CPA for help?
Okay, there's actually many different roles that a CPA plays. There's many different expertise. So some of those things include tax preparation and planning, financial statement audits and reviews. There's advisory services such as outsourced CFO, controller, or bookkeeping. Also, accounting software implementation would be something that a CPA could help you with. I mean, and that's just some things. There's many other things.
I know that's somewhat general. And like you said, there are just so many areas that a CPA could handle or specialize in. But how does that differ from what a financial advisor would do?
On the financial advisement side, as far as from a CPA perspective, CPAs can answer general questions, make general statements like, the stock market has ups and downs, but history has shown that over time it increases. Or things like, based on if you have risk tolerance for this, you might consider investing in the stock market, or maybe you should consider investing in something less risky. So they can make generalized statements like that. But a financial advisor, they have a much more narrow focus than a CPA, where they advise people on investments, and they actually have credentials which allow them to advise them on specific investments that they can make.
I just had a conversation a couple of days ago with my financial advisor. I know our company is changing investment portfolios, and I have the option to stay where I am or to go ahead and move over to this new portfolio that the company is going to offer. And so I had to call up my advisor and go, okay, look, given my age and given the goals that I have and how soon I am to retirement, am I better off staying where I am or should I move to this new portfolio? And I'm not sure a CPA would be able to answer that.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Like I said, a CPA could maybe guide you in a general sense, but a financial advisor is going to be much better at giving you specific advice as to where you should put your portfolio.
Is it advisable to have both a financial advisor and a CPA in your back pocket?
Yeah. So I think that many times a financial advisor and a CPA could even work together, especially when it comes to tax planning. So a financial advisor would, again, it's kind of flipped. A financial advisor would have general knowledge of tax planning, but a CPA is going to be much more detailed and maybe consider other things that a financial advisor might not. You know, and I think that most people, when they think of a financial advisor, they're going to think, oh, those are for people who have a lot of money. But like you said, I think that if you have a 401k, you've likely been given advice from a financial advisor on how to choose portfolios based on your risk. And then as far as like on the CPA side, we recommend that once your tax returns get more complex, then I would definitely recommend that you get a CPA involved, you know, instead of maybe preparing your own taxes. And for sure, once you're preparing business tax returns, definitely should see a CPA.
Well, if I had come to you, let's say I didn't have a financial advisor at all. I didn't know anybody to call. But I know you, Amanda. So I pick up the phone and mm-hmm. I call you and in a panic. And I'm like, oh, my work is changing their portfolio. And these are the stocks I'm already in. And this is the stock they want to go to or the portfolio. Which one should I go to? What would you tell me?
I would just tell you that you need to consider where your risk factors are. And I would say that I wouldn't necessarily be able to advise you on what to invest in, that your plan should have a financial advisor that should be able to help make those specific decisions.
Okay. So basically you would pass the buck.
Yes.
Okay. Given this horrible financial economic disaster that we're in right at the particular moment with the coronavirus pandemic, do you think that come next tax season or preparing for filing your taxes for next year, is it going to be better for me to have a CPA or a financial advisor if I can only afford one?
That's a good question. Honestly, there will be more complex things as it relates on a business side. So we're talking a business owner. There's definitely complex situations related to like the PPP loans and things like that. And as I said already, if you're a business owner, I would definitely recommend having a CPA prepare your tax return. But from an individual standpoint, I don't think that things will necessarily change as far as like who you need. I mean, I don't anticipate people changing the way that they do their taxes. I would think that if they've used a CPA in the past, they'll continue to use a CPA. If they prepared it on their own, they'll continue to do that.
Well, we do need to take a break. When we come back, we will go into a little bit more on CPAs versus financial advisors. So we'll be right back with Amanda Barrett Bruff. She is a CPA at Squire.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that if it affects your life in any way, we're going to talk about it. And today we're talking, it's a little bit more theoretical. Are you better off with a financial advisor or a certified public accountant, or maybe you need both? And joining me today is Amanda Barrett Bruff. She is a CPA at Squire. So welcome back to the show, Amanda.
Thank you.
In the last segment, we discussed sort of in general terms, what can a financial advisor do? What is their expertise versus what can a CPA do? But I want to bring it down to a little bit more of an actual reality that's happening right now. And a big one that I am reporting about a lot is the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program. But that it's part of the stimulus package, that $3 trillion stimulus package that Congress passed. And if you are a small business owner and you have laid off a lot of your workers or you're struggling to pay your workers, you can get a loan that will help pay the salaries of your employees. But there are some caveats. So Amanda, why don't you tell us what the plan encompasses?
Yeah, so it's called the Paycheck Protection Program. Businesses were able to apply for this loan. And the good thing about this loan is it can be forgiven. If you're able to prove that you use funds from the loan on payroll and rent, you don't have to pay it back. And so that's really appealing right now. They're trying to get businesses to hold on to their employees.
I want to get the big thing here is if I borrow $10,000, a big chunk of that has to go to pay my employees. And then I can use a little bit of it toward the rent of the building that I have.
Yep.
Now, I have been hearing from some business owners that they qualified for the loan, they got the money, but when they started talking to the employees, many of them were like, hey, I'm getting an unemployment check that right now, not only do they get their standard unemployment check, but the federal government is kicking in an additional $600, also part of that stimulus package. But they're getting an extra $600 from the federal government along with the state unemployment check. And if they take the money that their employer could give them that they got from this loan, they would be making less money at the moment. So they don't want to take it. And so now the business owners are like, well, we have this money, but we're scared to use it because our employees don't want to take it. And if I don't use it in the manner that I'm supposed to, then now I'm going to have to pay back my loan, this $10,000 loan.
Right.
How can we, what would you tell a business owner who comes into your office and says that?
Yeah, so actually, Squire, we have really dived in. We have a team of people that have really dived into the situation, and we even have like calculations that we're performing for clients to determine best decisions to make in this area. So there's so many different decisions to make. Like, for example, if you've completely been shut down and you're not operating, it might be a better idea to lay your employees off. But if you're still operating and being able to pay payroll for the most part, I would say, even though those employees want that extra money, I would say to keep them on if you can. I mean, that's what the stimulus package is for, right? To make it so businesses are motivated to keep their employees working. Regardless, even if you have the PPP loan and maybe you aren't going to have the salary that will offset the loan to be forgiven, if it's something that's going to help your business survive, it is a very, very low interest loan. And so it still could likely be a good decision to keep that loan and use it to stay in business.
The one thing we didn't tell the listeners is this loan requires a business owner that has it to use 75% of the loan toward payroll. And the other 25% can go toward operating expenses. But what if by the time I reopen and everything's all good, only 70% of the loan money went to payroll? I miss it by 5%. I will still have to pay the entire $10,000 back?
Oh, no, no. It's only the portion that you aren't able to offset against the payroll and the rent and the qualifying expenses. So, you know, it would only be that piece that you're not able to offset that you have to pay back, and it is a low interest.
So let's say $7,000 of that $10,000 was put toward payroll, and the other 30% was toward operating expenses. There's 5% of that $10,000 that I would have to pay back at a low interest.
Yep.
Oh.
Right.
Okay. Yep. Well, that's good to know. So I thought it was all or nothing.
Nope.
Well,
yeah.
Now, so if I had walked into a financial advisor and asked them that same question, would they have been able to tell me that?
I think it depends on the person. So they might be able to generally answer questions. But like I said at Squire, we have a whole team of people that are really diving into this topic. And so we've created tools and everything that we can use in giving you the best advice to move forward with this.
What else are some differences about financial advisors versus CPAs and why one might be better for me over another?
One thing that I didn't mention before is, so there's really six areas that financial advisors focus on. So investment planning is big and the obvious one, retirement planning. They do some tax planning as it relates to investments, as well as estate planning, education planning. So, you know, what your plan is to get your kids to go to college. And then they also do life and disability insurance planning as well. So that's really what a financial advisor focuses on. And like I said, CPAs, there's so many different things that we do at our firm even that we can offer.
So a financial advisor could help me set up how to fund my kids' education, but then the CPA is going to help me write that off on my taxes or work out how it will affect my taxes.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. So that's the difference. And it doesn't mean you need, like, one is better than the other. It's just, what do you need at the moment, or maybe you need both for your entire life?
Right. Right. Exactly. So, and at Squire, we actually have people that are both CPAs and financial advisors. So that's unique all in itself.
Okay. That sounds like a really boring... Like, your whole life is either financial planning or we're doing the taxes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of us like it, right?
Right. Right. Well, I do like talk about money. That might have been a good thing for me to do, but okay. Anything else that you want us to know about sort of the differences between financial planning and CPAs?
I would just say that there's benefits to both. The financial advisor just has a different niche than a CPA. Typically, they really go deep into investments. And CPA, the profession, has a pretty broad range, and that can be narrowed down per individual that is a CPA, right?
Right.
So, like, I focus on financial statement audits.
Amanda Barrett-Bruff, you are a CPA at Squire, so if anybody does need help, they can at least call Squire. You, since you just said that you are an audit partner, not everybody, I guess, is going to bang on your door, but there's certainly plenty of other people at your company that can help.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, especially as it relates to those PPP loans right now. We're really working hard on those.
Thank you so much, Amanda.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's H-K-E-L-L-Y at ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense onto social media. Money Making Sense.